Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Woo, what's going on here? My camera's off. Super dark. Why is that? Okay, well, we'll just have to roll with it. I don't know what to do. All right, good morning. Welcome. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church with a really dark camera this morning, but welcome to Revelation chapter 9. Perhaps it's appropriate that it's a little darker than normal this morning, because we're actually in for a pretty dark chapter this morning, Revelation 9, as the trumpets continue to blast. We see the fifth and sixth trumpets blast. And if you remember from Friday, after the first four trumpets blasted, in which the four major spheres of creation were cursed and struck by God, with a limit set of no more than a third, but up to a third could be struck. The angels announced that when the last three trumpets would blast, there would be three woes. And so these last three trumpets are even more intense. Now, we're not actually going to get to the last trumpet for a while, but we'll have fifth and sixth trumpets. And this is an intensification of judgment. So let's pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we will jump into Revelation 9 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for giving us hope in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the life that is ours in him. Father, thank you for this word in Revelation that encourages us, even as it challenges us, to think clearly and biblically about the world we live in and our place in it. We pray that you would write your word upon our hearts this morning and help us to honor you in it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just try something real quick before we do the scripture reading. See if I can get this to be any better. Hey, there we go. That worked. All right. Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke, like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green plant, or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. The first woe has passed. Behold, two more woes are still to come. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision. And those who rode them, they wore breastplates the color of fire, and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, fire, smoke, sulfur, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. I told you it was a darker chapter. I warned you, and it is. Big picture, I think what we have here in chapter 9 is a look at demonic activity as a judgment of God upon the world. So far we've seen two major categories of God's judgment upon the world. In chapter 6, when we saw the first four seals opened, we saw conquering kings going out to conquer, making war, causing famine, which leads to death. That's one type of disastrous activity we see in the world, and it comes from the throne of God as a judgment of his wrath against mankind. And then, last time in chapter 8, we saw with the first four trumpets, natural disaster, volcano eruptions, earthquakes, wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, sandstorms, these kinds of natural disasters that can blot out the sun and the sky with soot and ash, that can create devastation on the ground, that can poison the waters. They also come as judgment from God. And they are more intense. They affect more people. They have more devastating consequences than the conquering kings who make war that causes famine and death. Here we see an even more intense form of judgment that comes from God, and that is demonic activity in the world to torment and to kill. We know this is demonic activity because we have a fallen angel. A star fallen from heaven to earth is a fallen angel who's given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. And he opens the shaft of the bottomless pit. And so this is a reference to Hades. And you have smoke that rises like the smoke of a great furnace. All of that is demonic, hell-type language. And then when we get to verse 11, this army that arises from the bottomless pit, unlocked by a fallen angel, they have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. So there's some disagreement over exactly who these two characters are, the one who's given the key to the bottomless pit and the one who is the king over them. Some Bible scholars will say that they're the same character, and it is Satan. It is that great adversary. He is the fallen angel who is given a key, which is a kind of authority, in that he is the one who has authority over demons and the demonic hordes. And that he's the same one who in Hebrew is called Abaddon and in Greek is called Apollyon. There's another school of thought that the one with the key who opens the shaft of the bottomless pit is Satan, but that this character, Abaddon in Hebrew, or Apollyon in Greek, is like the commanding demonic general over Satan's demonic army. You know, a secondary character like Michael is the commanding angel over the armies of angels. Either way, what we're dealing with here is demonic activity. Now, these are pictured like locusts. But we know they're not ordinary locusts because they're told they can't eat any plants. No grass of the earth, no green plant, no tree. Okay, so obviously we're not dealing with ordinary locusts here. But what are they allowed to do? They are allowed to go to those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. What does that mean? Well, remember chapter 7. Remember in chapter 7, God sealed his people before he saved his people and then gathered his people in. The sealed of God are those who belong to God. They are the elect. They are those who are marked out by God. The Lord's foundation stands firm, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. So the Lord knows those who are his, and those who are his are protected from this level of demonic torture. And it is intense torment. False religions of the world, which we will get to later in some of the figures that we see, some of the famous figures from Revelation, like the beast and the false prophet and the harlot of Babylon. We'll get to those, and some of those have to deal with false religion. This has to do with the demonic forces that are at work behind false religion can lead people to be absolutely tormented to the point of just wanting to die, but not able to die. So this is demonic torment that causes people to want to die, but not to actually die. And then these locusts are described. And this gives us just more. Nothing in Revelation is to be taken literally. It is apocalyptic literature, which means that it is all symbolic. Now, these are demons. But you see, we're not told explicitly these are demons. We're told that they're locusts. Locusts of a particular kind. They have what looks like crowns of gold. So they have a kind of authority, but it's really a pretended authority. Their faces are like human faces. They're not human, but they can act like they're human. Their hair is like women's hair. That is a sign of seduction. They have a seductive power. They have teeth like lion's teeth, so they have a destructive capacity. Breastplates like breastplates of iron that, you know, are powerful and strong. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. All of this expressions of like women's hair, like lies. Demons are essentially imitators. They have a limited power, a limited authority, but they're great imitators. And so they will pretend and they will lie and they will deceive. And their purpose in deceiving is to destroy with torment. And so they have this power, and they're under Satan's dominion. The first woe has passed. Behold, two woes are still to come. And oh boy, this second woe is horrible. And I do think that this is something that is yet future. I think when we get to the sixth trumpet, I'll say this tentatively, I think that the other things we're seeing so far unfold throughout the church age, conquering kings who make war, causing famine and death, natural disasters that affect every area of creation, demonic torment in the lives of people who do not know the Lord. I think those are things that we see in sometimes more intense, sometimes less intense. Those are temporal judgments that we see throughout the church age, throughout the tribulation. And the limits that they're given of 1/3 or 1/5 are the upper limits. Okay, so God sets a maximum. He sets a limit on to how much they can do. But they sort of, it rises and falls, and it's in different places, and it's under God's sovereign command. I do think that this feels to me, how's that for Bible scholarship? This feels to me like something that is yet future, that is going to come. And that is a time of intense demonic deception that leads to massive warfare and massive destruction in the world, to where up to a third of mankind could be killed. Again, the numbers in Revelation are not to be taken super literally. There is a limit you know, these are limits and these are basically telling us God has everything under control. But you have troops here. But again, these are, I believe these are demonic troops. Okay. But you have troops here who are mounted troops that number twice 10,000 times 10,000. Now, I'm not a math guy, but I know that 1,000,000 is 1,000,000. And I know that 1,000, 10,000 is 1,000,000,000. And 10,000 times 10,000 is a lot. A trillion, 100 billion, twice that. I mean, this is a big, 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 big number. Okay? And this is demonic activity that is causing massive devastation. Notice in the fifth trumpet, they were tormented for 5 months. They sought death, but they could not find it. And now there's three plagues coming: fire, smoke, and sulfur. I don't know exactly what those are. I think they're yet future, although we could have seen examples of them throughout the history of the world in smaller measure. But they kill up to a third of mankind, and it is intense. And one thing we need to keep in mind with all of this is that it is under the direction of God. And then the sobering bit is when we get to the end of chapter 9, and we're told that the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the work of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols, or give up their immorality. So they didn't start loving God, they didn't get rid of their idolatry, and they didn't start behaving well, they didn't give up their gross immorality. They kept on doing what they knew was wrong, that God was judging them for. They did not repent. What are we to make of all of this? Well, we have to remember the purpose that God has for the book of Revelation in the lives of his people. The purpose of Revelation in the lives of his people is to give us perspective and to encourage in us patient perseverance in faith. God is giving us perspective. We look around us in the world, and what do we see? Dictators and kings and rulers of the world who rise up to grab power for themselves, whether that's the Kim family in North Korea, or whether that was Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden, or it's been so many different people throughout the history of the world. We see natural disasters. We see earthquakes and wildfires and tornadoes and hurricanes and devastating earthquakes with mudslides that wipe out entire villages and kill thousands of people. We also see a lot of really dark demonic activity in the world through false religions, through people who are trapped in unbelief, through people who are really troubled, deeply troubled. And sometimes we see plagues break out, right? There's been worse plagues in history, bubonic plague being one of the worst, but plagues that wiped out Native Americans, lots of plagues. One of the things Revelation is to give us is perspective to say all of this is under God's control. None of it is out of God's control. The world is not spinning out of control. God is sovereign, and part of what he's doing in all of these terrible things is in fact pouring out his just and holy wrath on the nations who have rebelled against him. His people are sealed. That doesn't mean we don't suffer harm, but notice we don't suffer this demonic kind of harm. Any harm that comes our way is ultimately from God for our good, for our sanctification, and for our deeper dependence upon him, and ushers us on to our glorification. So we can trust God. No matter how bad the headlines get, we can trust God. And we can stay faithful, continue to speak the truth, continue to love our neighbors, continue to evangelize, continue to testify to our hope in Jesus. We don't need to be shaken, no matter how bad things get in the world, because God told us in Revelation that he is in control of it all. All of this is coming from his sovereign throne of authority. He is in control, and we can trust him. Let's pray. Father, we do live in a dark and troubled world. And part of the reason why this world is so dark and troubled is because it is in rebellion against you, and you are judging it day by day. You are pouring out your wrath upon the nations who do not know you, and who reject you, and who hide from you, and who tell lies about you, and who persecute your people, and who carry on gross immorality. And the more a people denies you, and the more a people gives themselves over to gross immorality, the more we will suffer your judgments. So, Father, have mercy on us. Wake up your church, that we might be your holy people, that we might speak the truth in love, but with boldness and clarity, that we might love our neighbors enough to tell them the truth about the God of the universe and about your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Give us perspective on headlines that are designed to shock us and trouble us. Give us perspective that is eternal and heavenly. And give us patient perseverance in Christ. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you again for joining me as we continue working our way through Revelation. Again, we'll be on to chapter 10 on Wednesday. I hope you're getting something out of these. I hope you're benefiting from this. If you ever have any questions about anything that's in one of the devotionals, just feel free to email the church. You can find our email address on our website, or I think on our Facebook page as well, and our sermon audio page. So just go ahead and email the church, and I'd be happy to respond to clarify anything that I have said in our devotional times together. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday morning for chapter 10. Have a blessed day in the Lord.